I'd like to talk with you just a little bit tonight, and I'll try not to hold you long. I came to more or less fellowship with you a little bit, and I love the Word of God. I don't know of anything that we can fellowship around that's any better than God's Word. And we're over here in Mississippi, having the Word of God here with us, and being here with a heart full of Jesus. I don't know of anything better than to just fellowship a little around His Word and talk about His Word. In chapter 10 of St. Matthew's, if you've got your Bibles, you can read along with me. You know, we're living in a day when you really need to know your Bible. They're fast doing away with the Word of God, and they're changing the Bible about so much until they've got all kind of insertions and all kind of Bibles, and it pays you to know your Bible. If you've not got acquainted with the Word of God, you need to get acquainted with the Word of God, because Satan is fast doing away with the Word of God in the day that we're living in, Brother Leon. The printed page of the Word of God is fast being done away with, and I made a prediction a long time ago that they would do that. And I believe God is allowing it to be done for this reason. Now you say, Brother Pike, what reason would that be? The Bible said because they have not a love for the truth, then God just took it out of the midst. Isn't that right? Had not a love for the truth, God turned them over to reprobate mind, let them believe a lie, do whatever they wanted to. That whichever they wanted to, God let them do. Is that right? Because they didn't love the Word of God, they didn't love the truth, and because of that, God just moved the whole thing out of the midst, according to Scripture, and left them to their own understanding. You know, it's wrong to lean to your own understanding. The first thing the Bible tells us is to lean not to your own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And the first mistake we make is leaning to our own understanding. And when we don't love the Word of God, if we don't love the truth, and the Bible said they did not like to retain the truth of their knowledge, so then God gave them up to vile affections, to dishonor themselves between themselves, their bodies one with another, because they did not like to retain the truth in their knowledge. All right, so then the Bible is fast fading away. They're fast taking it out of the midst of the people, and they're going to have something that will replace the Bible, but it will not be the unadulterated Word of God. All right, in chapter 10, let's read a little in the book of Matthews. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. All right, it says in the 5th verse, these 12 Jesus sent forth, and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And to whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send ye forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, And he shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in that city, or this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. All right, now, the next verse is an outstanding verse. It says here, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call him of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. All right, you can be seated. I appreciate your reverence of standing. I wonder if we've got a little water. Is water in here? The Bible tells us here that we are sent out to do a job for God, and that is to preach the gospel and then to heal the sick. And it tells us that whatever place we go, whatever city, whatever home that we go into, that we are to salute that house. And if the Prince of Peace is in that house, then our peace will rest upon that house. But now, if the Prince of Peace is not in that house, then the Bible tells us that our peace will return unto us. You know, when Mary met Elizabeth, when they came together, there was a manner of salutation. They saluted each other. And the Bible tells us that we have a holy manner of salutation, that we're to greet each other with a holy kiss. And so then, we come to a place. Now we come to a building. We salute the place in the name of Jesus. That is, our heart, our desire, our love and affection goes out into that direction and comes into that house and upon that house. And when it does, we hope that there will be an entreaty from somebody, that there will be somebody that has a light, a spirit, a kindred spirit, that is in like manner seeking fellowship. And when our spirit goes out to that spirit or to that house, if we are received into it by the spirit of another, and then we know that we are brothers and we have a brotherhood, and then our peace and our blessing rests upon that house. But now if we go into that place and we can't find that kindred spirit, and our spirit can't find any rest in it, then our spirit will return back to us. And then the Bible tells us to shake off the dust of our feet against that city or against that house, because in the day of the judgment, God will make it more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city. Now, not only does that refer to a house as this building here, or refer to a home where you might go to visit with an individual, whereas the Bible said if you go into that city, inquire who is worthy, go into that home and there abide until you leave. Now, not only does it refer to that, but it refers to this temple right here. This is a house. We come to a person. We come to what we think to be a brother. We come to what we think to be a sister. And we have the same manner of salutation as Elizabeth did and as Mary did. And we salute that house. Jesus said, this house. And Peter said, if this house be dissolved, we've got another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. And so then we salute that house. Our peace goes out to that house. And if that person has Christ, then our spirits come together in that holy, charitable union. And then our peace can rest upon that house. If not, then our peace will return to us, and then the Bible said it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that house in the day of the judgment. So it's real important. If Brother Leon comes to Georgia to minister, or if he goes over in another place of Mississippi, or if he goes down into Alabama, or wherever he goes, it's of the greatest of importance that every individual in that church or that place, wherever he goes, receives him and lets their spirit yield to him, that he might let his spirit rest there and his peace rest upon that place. Amen. Now you say, Brother Pike, why is that so important in the sight of God? Because the Bible teaches that the power to bless or to curse is in the mouth of the minister. The minister has the power to come into your home and leave you a blessing or to leave you a curse. It doesn't matter. God will give you one way or another. It doesn't matter which one that he leaves, but he will leave one or another. It doesn't matter to God which one he leaves. Now, he would like for the minister to leave his blessings, but it doesn't matter to God. It's just important that the minister either leave the blessing or leave the curse. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then when we come to visit with you, or we go to visit with somebody, then the thing to do, the Bible says, submit yourselves one to another. See, if you find the brother, you find the sister, when you greet the sister, yield your spirit to that sister, yield your spirit to that brother. Because they have the powers of blessings in their life. And there is a holy communion that ought to be between the brotherhood and between the sisterhood in the church. Now, it's hard for people in the day that we're living in to submit themselves one to another. Everybody seems to want the preeminence. Everybody seems to want to be the one that knows what the other one ought to be told. Isn't that right? But see, that isn't what God wants. God wants us to love one another, Brother Leon. That's the important thing. Not that I come over here and tell you a lot, because the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you. But rather that we love one another, that we have the holy manner of salutation that they had in the old time teachings, that we love one another. Can you love your brother? If you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you've not seen? If you don't do anything good for your brother, how are you going to do anything for God? But you'll never see God that way. And the Bible said in that day, when we stand there, he'll say, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. And then they'll say, Lord, when did we see you like this, and we didn't minister unto you? And he said, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these my brethren, you didn't do it to me. So then we see what a golden opportunity we have. What a great, wonderful opportunity we have tonight. Hallelujah. To minister to Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I get excited when I talk about it. It is wonderful to be able to know that we can minister to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this very world right here, I have the opportunity. I never have it in that world to come, but in this world. You'll never have it in that world to come, but in this world. You have an opportunity to minister to the body of the Lord Jesus. See, God can never be in need. But God has so placed himself in the lives of human beings to put himself in a predicament to where he needs food, to where he needs clothing in the life of human beings. How can that be? Because the Bible teaches that he is touched by the feeling of the infirmities of others. He is the high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. So then when we're hungry, God is grieved about it. When we are destitute of daily needs, God is grieved about it. And so then God has so placed himself in such a manner that in the day that we're living in, that we can feed the Almighty God, that we can share our substance with the Almighty God. We can do as the woman did, we can wash the feet of the Almighty God. If I kneel down tonight and I wash Buddy's feet, then the Bible teaches that he is bone of the bone of Christ, he is flesh of the flesh of Christ, and so then I wash the Lord's feet. I wash the Lord's feet. I have the opportunity to do it. I have the opportunity when I meet my brothers and sisters to be kind and to be loving toward them, because if I do, then I've done it to Jesus. I have the opportunity to minister unto Christ by doing that very thing, by loving one another. I have the opportunity to do that, but if I bypass that opportunity and I be haughty, I be hateful, and I be evil, and I don't have a spirit of kindness and meekness and love, then I have done unto God an evil thing. And in the day of the judgment, God will hold me accountable for it. So then I must be sweet. I must be humble. The Bible teaches the minister must be gentle. He must be patient. He must be long-suffering. He can't strive with people. He can't fight with people. He must be humble. He must be sincere. That's not always easy to do, is it? That's not always easy for the minister. Neither is it easy for the laity. But still, we're commanded to do it. If you meet somebody and somebody's haughty and hateful, you're not to rise up at them. And the Bible tells us when you are reviled, you don't revile again. Like when the king in burns your little church down. See, you're not to fight back at him. You're not to revile. The Bible said vengeance belongs to God, and God will take care of it. Hallelujah. Somewhere God will get a hold of them people that came here and caused you your heartaches and trouble. The Bible said, I'll trouble them that trouble you. And when they start troubling you, you can be sure that God will make a thoroughest, and someday God will trouble them. Hallelujah. We've got God on our side tonight. We don't have to be afraid, because the Bible teaches if he's for us, who can be against us? Alright, so then we're the victorian. The Bible teaches that we are killed all the day long, accounted as sheep to the slaughter. But in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us and who gave himself for us. There is not one victory that we shall ever lose, not one. But every trial, every problem, we will always be the victorian. So then, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in God. If we've got faith tonight, we are an overcomer. Like I said last night, I was preaching down the tent, and I spoke about the righteousness of God. Now, I read here to you in Matthew, where the Bible said, no man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. And he said, it is enough that ye shall be as your master. Isn't that enough to be like Jesus, who would want to be above God? He said, it's enough to be satisfied with just to be as your master. If your master suffered, then be satisfied to suffer. Amen. He suffered for us. Why not suffer then for him? If he suffered that our soul might be saved, why not suffer that somebody else may see Christ in our life and that they might be saved? For we stand in Christ's stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled back to Jesus. In the absence of the Lord Jesus, then we are the mediator at this point and at this time between man and God. Because we are not our own, but we're bought with a price. We are not our own body, but we are bone of his bone. and we're flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. So then we stand in God's stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled to him. All right. So then, as I said last night, we have the opportunity to be equal with God in this present world. You know, a lot of people will never get the benefits of God because they cannot understand that they have the ability to be equal with God. You've got to be able to conceive the idea that we are equal to God, or else we will never have the benefits that God gave to us. The Bible tells us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Is that right? We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, when you say that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ, what does that mean? That covers a lot of territory. When I say that I am the righteousness of God in Christ, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't really expect me to believe that you're the righteousness of God. I'm telling you what the Bible tells us. I'm telling you what the Scripture says about it. The Bible said, and Jesus, he had a mind that he thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. And the Bible said, every man that be perfect shall be as his master. He didn't think it was robbery. I don't think it's robbery tonight to be equal with God. I don't feel that's robbery. Jesus died that I might be equal with God. Hallelujah. It's through Christ that I'm made the righteousness of God. It's through his travail, it's through his labor, it's through his spilling of his blood that he hath made me equal with my Father. So that he hath brought me up into a place, a heavenly place. I don't have to dwell in this earthly place down here because I've been elevated, I've been raised up. Hallelujah, made to sit together in heavenly places with my Savior. I don't have to stay in the lowlands of sin and sorrow and fight and fuss over the beggarly elements of the world because I have a heavenly treasure, hallelujah, that God has given me eternal in the heavens. It's a house not made with hands. And Peter said, if this one be dissolved, hallelujah, that we're heir to the glory of God, and he's waiting to give us that glorious house. Hallelujah. That hath no sickness, hath no sorrow, hath no heartaches. And so then we are made equal to God. Then think it not robbery. Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the image of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, if I was a beast, if I was on this earth, then I couldn't believe that way. A lot of people would say, Brother Pike, I just can't believe that. Well, I understand why you can't believe that. If you're not a son of God, how could you be equal with God? How could you be equal? Somebody said, but wait a minute now. Not unless you look at it like this. How then? They would say, but maybe you're not a son of God. But the Bible teaches that I'm whatever my believing is. If I can believe in my heart, and I believe in my heart, I'm a son of God. So then I am a son of God. And my justification is by faith, because God imputed righteousness unto Abraham by faith. And so then by the glorious faith of our father Abraham tonight, I believe that I'm a son of God. And so then I am a son of God. Hallelujah. That means I'm elevated out of this world. That means I'm not of this world. Jesus said, now look, you're not of this world. Why stay in this world? Why struggle and strive for the things of this world? Why place your affections on the things of this life if you're not of this world? If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. Isn't that right? If the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. If you like to sit around and watch television and the things on television, the love of the Father isn't there. Let's be honest about it now. And so then, I want to be a light for God. Let your light so shine that men might see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Can you say amen? All right, so then, we have a glorious opportunity tonight. This is a glorious opportunity. Never before has this been given unto mankind until Jesus came and died at Calvary. Never before in all the many thousands of years, in all of the many past experiences, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were not able to do what we are doing. Even John the Baptist, the Bible said the least of them in the kingdom is greater than John. If you're the very least of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, at least you are the body of the Lord Jesus. See, and John had never come to that crossing wherein God was made flesh. He had never got to that part of it yet. You understand what I'm saying? We are the righteousness of God in Christ tonight. Hallelujah. You think, what does that mean, Brother Pike? My God, can't you see what I'm saying? We are God's righteousness in the earth tonight. What does that mean to us? Listen, if I am the righteousness of God, what does that mean to me tonight? Hallelujah. When I go before the throne of God to pray, the Bible said, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive help in the time of need. I come boldly before the throne of grace, not because I am good, not because I've merited anything, not because I fasted longer than somebody else, I prayed longer than somebody else, or no more than somebody else, but I'm bold because I'm the righteousness of God. I don't have to come and stand before God and there be under condemnation and worry. If I go to pray for the sick, I don't have to stand around and say, oh my God, I failed here, and my God, I failed there, and God, I didn't do this, and I wish I'd have done that. God knows that we're shortcoming. God knows that we're not doing all the things that we could do for God. But we are trying sincerely. Hallelujah. And so then when we go to pray for the sick, we stand there as the righteousness of God in Christ. When we go to press our death pillar, we don't roll and say, oh my God, I left this off, and God, I didn't do that, and God, I'm afraid I won't make it in. But through faith in God, we look away to heaven and we say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm ready to meet you by faith in the Savior and the spilled blood of Calvary. Hallelujah. So then, when we stand the minister of the Word, then who are we? We are the sons of the living God. The whole world is groaning, waiting. Waiting for what? Not for the governor, not for the president, not for some orator, not for some great person. What is the world waiting for? It's waiting for you and me. Hallelujah. Why? Because the government is upon our shoulders. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. We are the sons of God. Not going to be. Somebody said someday the sons of God are going to be manifested. I believe that. But I believe that a lot of folks are mistaken and don't understand what the Lord was talking about. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean that right now we're the sons of God. I don't have to wait till some special thing happens to me to make me a son of God. Tonight you're looking at a son of God. You're not looking at a beast. You're not looking at a man, but you're looking at a son of God. I am a son of God. Now, beloved, you're the sons of God. I'm a son of God. You say, well, why do you get excited? Wouldn't you be excited if you were the son of God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you what, some of you would be excited if you was the son of Jimmy Carter tonight and him the president. Wouldn't you be excited if your dad was the president of the United States and you was his son? Yes. Think how excited I am. My Heavenly Father owns the world and all therein. And tonight I am a son of God. I'm excited about it because it's real in my heart. I'm excited about it. The Holy Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God tonight. I am made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Why not get excited? You say, what does it mean to be a son of God? It means I'm exceedingly rich, abundantly above all that you could ever think. I own the earth and the heavens. I own the trees. I own Mississippi. I'll share it with you if you'll do right. See, I'm a son of God. All things are mine. The Bible said all things belong to you and you belong to Christ. Hallelujah. And so then we are complete in Him tonight. No need from the first over Germany about who owns it. Me and Brother Leon owns it. Amen. If they do right, we'll let them stay over there. If they don't do right, we'll excommunicate them as squatters and tell them to get off the land. How do you understand what I'm saying? You say, Brother Pike, you talk like you're telling a fairy tale. But I'm not telling a fairy tale. It's real tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who owns Pope? Who owns Pope Mississippi? You people own Pope Mississippi. Not the squatters, but you own it. Hallelujah. It belongs to you, and there are a bunch of squatters out there. And after a while, God's going to let them know it. Amen. Like I told a general one time over in Kentucky, over there I let him know that there was a bunch of squatters, and after a while we was going to change the regulations. Amen. The officers too. You love Jesus? All right. I'm talking about reality now. So then what are we tonight? We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now look at it like this. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One walked up and said, Lord, I fast twice a week. That's good. I said, I do it. I pray. That's good. I pay tithe of all I possess. That's Bible. That's good. Now, I said, I thank God I'm not like that other fellow. But that's wrong. Amen. He's overstepping his boundaries now. As he used to tell a country boy, getting too big for his britches. God take him down a notch or two. See, now, fasting, that's all right. God, I fast. God, I pray. God, I go to church. God, I give the tithe. That's good. But then when you say, I'm glad I'm not like Sister So-and-so. I'm glad I'm not like Brother So-and-so over there. Then you've gone too far then. See, you've gone too far then. And that old Sister So-and-so and Brother So-and-so just falls down on the knees and says, I ain't as good as them folks on the hill. Have mercy on me. Come on now. Have mercy on me. And the Bible said they went down to the house justified rather than the one that boasted. He said, for lest your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. See, what is that now? You say, but Brother Pike, if he fasts, if he prays, then how will we ever excel that? Because we are the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. The Bible said, Jesus, he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Is that right? Our righteousness exceeds that of fasting and praying. Our righteousness exceeds that of doing good alms deeds. Our righteousness exceeds all of the abilities and efforts and endeavors of the church and those that are in the earth. Because our efforts is the efforts of Jesus Christ that's been approved by God. And tonight we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Lest your righteousness excel that of the Pharisees, you'll not enter into the kingdom of God. And so then tonight our righteousness excels that of the Pharisees. Hallelujah. They may go to church regular. They may be in church every Sunday. They may pay their tithes with a regularity. They may do all the things that's necessary. But, brother, our righteousness excels that. Because our righteousness is the righteousness of God in Christ. What does it mean to have the righteousness of God in Christ? All right, now I know you're tired and I can tell the fire's going out, but fan the sparks for just a few more minutes there. And I will break out into the blaze. You can't hear it, tell you. I have seen wood when it looked like it was burned up, and after a while, it just break out in the blaze, you know. Just keep fanning the spark. All right. Now, I'm not going to keep you long. I just want to say a few more things to you. You know, when homeless people get tired, they don't want to come against you. They don't want to do nothing wrong, but they're afraid if they encourage you too much, you're liable to preach a sermon. And that takes too long. But I feel for you. You've been here all day, and I feel for you. I understand. Really, I do understand. I'm just going on at you. All right, now, let's just consider for just a few minutes, can we? How have you got time listening for just a few minutes now? All right. So it is wonderful to realize that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Let's just think on that just for a few minutes, will you? We are the righteousness of God in Christ. What a wonderful thought to understand that. It's good to see Glenn and Joe and the children here with us. All right. Now, being the righteousness of God in Christ, what does that mean? It means that we are elevated above all the efforts of the earth. All of the endeavors of the earth. It means that when we have faith in what Christ did, that we can do anything that we want to do. God has made my cup run over because I have faith in God. He's not denied me anything when I ask it of Him. Because I have faith in Him, I go to Him in the righteousness of Christ. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou takest no knowledge? For He said, in the day of fasting, you do not fast as you do the state, to make your voice to be heard on high. You've got to fast for the purpose of undoing that from the heavy burdens of them that are laden down. You've got to fast for the thought of taking the sick and the naked, bringing them into your house and clothing them and feeding them. Then the Bible said your light will break forth speedily, and then your reward shall be that of God. Your light shall go before you, and then God shall say, here am I, whenever you call. Why? Because we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Now, to be as our master, to be as our master, then where is the secret of success with God? Is it in our powers of ingenuity? Is it in our endeavors to fast and to pray and to sacrifice? No, that's not where it is. But where is the secret? It's in recognizing that God has made us the righteousness of God in Christ. When we realize that we are without spot, when we realize that we are without wrinkle, when we realize that we are without blemish, and we realize that there's no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, no such thing in our life, then God lifts us up into the heavenly places, and what does He do? He sits down and He has a private conversation with us. And what does He tell us? He tells us the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's the revealed mystery that will translate the church and take the church into the other world. That will deliver them from sickness, not only from sickness, but deliver them that they will not have to be put in a coffin, in a casket, and put down in the dirt. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. That's what it is. See, that's why I'm so excited. I found it. I'm not making believe. I found it. I'm not trying to convince myself. I found it. Hallelujah. For many long years, I didn't have it. For many long years, I fasted and prayed and preached and still didn't have it. But the Bible said, keep searching and you'll find the knowledge of God. Today I do have it. I do have it today. That's why I'm excited like I am. Because the whole world is searching for it. Medical science is searching for it. Men are fasting and praying and looking for it. Preachers across the world are looking for it. That great seminars are spending their lives searching for it. But I found it. I found it. Hallelujah. It's the hour. It's the hour for us to have it, buddy. This is the hour for it. It's the hour of the redemption of the body. And how we're ever going to redeem the body. is to recognize that Christ has paid the price and that he has made us the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the only way we're ever going to redeem the body. Peter said, if this house be dissolved, if this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heaven, not made land. What is this tabernacle? The tabernacle of this earth. The Bible said we have borne the image of the earthly. What is that? That's the image of the beast. That's that knowledge from the fall in the garden. But Peter said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, we've already borne the image of the earthly. Is that the image of God? No. He made us in the image of God, but Adam lost the image of God. That's why we bear the image of the earthly. It's because, as I preached last night, the covering was lost. And I don't have time to go into Revelation the 9th. It's too late. You're too tired. But see, the covering was lost. And if the covering was lost, then that means that we are bearing the image of the earthly tonight. But the Bible said, inasmuch as we bore the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. For if this tabernacle be dissolved, then we have another tabernacle. What is that tabernacle? It's the image of Jesus, the second man Adam. Where is it at? It's in the Spirit. Where is heaven in the Spirit? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wish you could understand what I'm saying tonight. If we were spiritual, Paul said, I would speak unto your spirituals. Hallelujah. If we were spiritual tonight, then we could understand what God has done for us in making us the righteousness of God in Christ. If we were spiritual tonight, if we could conceive in our hearts tonight and understand what God has done for us, the great and mighty, lovable thing that Christ has done for us. How rich and how wonderful my soul thrills. I feel his mighty charge through my body as I even think about the righteousness of God in Christ. For it has elevated us into another place. Where is that place? Made to set together in heavenly places. I've said this so many times. You know, in the church world, they take that as a figment, just a figure of speech. That's what's wrong with the people today. God will say something in the Bible and they take it for a figure of speech. The intellectual people will define it down until it's nothing but just a proverb among them. And see, it's just a figure of speech. It's not real anymore. But Jesus said, my words are spirit, my words are life. Hallelujah, what I speak to do you can resurrect you from the dead, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Living words. My soul thrills when I think about it. My soul lives and bubbles like a spring of water with joy. Because I do know. Hallelujah. So then, where are we at tonight? We've got another tabernacle. Hallelujah. One day, Brother Leon Wilson died. Amen. He died. He realized he wasn't the right kind of fella. And so he died and they buried him. Hallelujah. And it's not him living tonight, but Christ living. Hallelujah. Born of his bone and flesh of his flesh, the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Now you say, Brother Pyatt, why are you so excited? What if we do know all of that? Don't you understand? Look, faith cometh by the hearing of the word. Contend for the faith. What kind of faith? Not just faith that where we say we're a Christian, but contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. What kind of faith when Joshua stopped the sun and the moon? When Moses walked over and told the Red Sea to get out of the way? See, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. You say, but we can't have that, but we can have that. But you say, Brother Pike, we've had the Methodists and the Baptists and the Presbyterians. We've had fasting and praying and preaching. And we still haven't gotten to it. But you didn't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what made the difference. Hallelujah. They said, Lord, tell us, you're a preacher. You're a preacher of righteousness. You're a prophet. We know that thou art a prophet. Now you're preaching to these people out here, but said they don't understand what you're saying. And Jesus said, true, true. He said, but it's not given unto them to understand. It's not given unto them to know the mysteries, but yet he preached to them. See, Paul preached to them. God has the preachers to preach to them. But it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. And he said, great is the mystery of godliness. And I'm a steward of the mysteries of godliness. And said, when the angel sounds, the last angel, all of the mysteries will be at a climax. It will be finished. There is nothing hid that shall not be revealed. I read it to you tonight. Isn't that right? Now, what do you mean revealed? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Then, what is it? It means that God has preached the gospel to every creature. Hath not our sound gone into all the world? The Bible said, but who hath believed our report? All right, now, then, if that is true, then what is there for the church? If the gospel's gone into all the world and the church has not yet been raptured, then what is there for the church? The Bible said Satan would overcome the saints and wear the saints of God out, and then the saints would rise and take the kingdom. Is that right? That means there's something special. There's something else left. There's something that the world hasn't got a hold of. The smart scholars haven't got it. Those that have beat the brains out in Bible school, they haven't got it. For the Bible said God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, made it revelation unto babes such as will learn. How high is it? Abundantly and above all you're able to ask or even think. They can't ask it, they can't even think it. And the Bible said you don't even know what you ought to pray for. But the Holy Spirit on the inside with groans and moans that can't be uttered maketh intercession for the saints of God, searching the heart, knowing the things that we need. Hallelujah. I feel good, don't you? Hallelujah. Now don't get worried. I'm going to stop in a minute. Why get excited? What then is the need for me to know these things? Listen now. It is necessary for me to know. For if faith cometh by the hearing of the word, there has to be a message. There has to be a word. There has to be something that must be preached that somebody can believe that will take them out of the coffin and turn them away from the powers of the grave. Isn't that right? There has to be something. Why? You say, but well, wait a minute, Brother Pike, God will just come down here and pick us up. No, that's not right. Lord bless your heart, that's good. I know the Church of God says that, and that's all right. I mean, I've preached for them a lot of times in the Church of God. And I know the Pentecostal Holy said that, and I preach for them too. That's good. Amen. Like I said the other night on the 10th, I preached for some Catholics. But I don't back up their doctrine, because I believe the Pope's wrong. How do you believe the Pope's wrong? Like I said last night, somebody said, well, he's the descendant of Peter. And he said Peter was the first pope. I said, well, if that's so, they denied the faith already. Because Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. So the pope today don't even believe the message. That automatically disqualifies them. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? If a kingdom be divided, it can't stand, the Bible said, they'll have to fall. But we believe it, don't we? The early church, 3,000 added to the church, we believe in it. That's why we're over here at Pope tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. Something's happening and going on. Do you believe it is? God's changing the Pope. Making a change now. The devil's had it long enough. Ain't that right? Hallelujah. He's going to bring it back to Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Change the time. Glory to God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a change taking place. The righteousness of God in Christ. Can you lift your hands up in loving? Can you do that tonight? Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. Praise you for what we feel here tonight, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. May every yoke be broken. Every bondage be taken away. Every sick body be healed. Hallelujah. Every person be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What is it? A time for change. Hallelujah. Why do we need to know? Why do we need to know? Because we must believe. The Bible said Enoch believed. Abraham believed. It was imputed unto Abraham for righteousness. Enoch believed. Now listen. The Bible said, and Enoch was translated by faith. He didn't wait for some rapture to take place. That word ain't even in the Bible anyway. Come on now. Let's preach the word. Amen. Is that right? Paul said a change. Didn't say nothing about a rapture. Said a change. All right, now what is it? There has to be a word of faith. And Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Enoch, what did you hear that made you believe? What kind of message came to you? What kind of word came to you? That you could hear something and believe that you could escape death. When Jesus walked through the land, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. And he that believeth on me shall never come into condemnation. But if you can hear my word and believe my word, you pass from death unto life. My words are spirit. My words are not a figure of speech. My words are life. Young folks, you get a hold of this. You're the ones that's going to enjoy it. Amen. That's right. You're going to get choked off of school and choked off of college. And you're going to come to this and you're going to enjoy this thing, I'm telling you. Because you're going to see and understand and believe. While the elders die in a denominational wilderness wandering around like a dog after his tail. Amen. Splitting hairs through seminary and over theology. Hallelujah. You don't get this through theology, you get this through theology. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I'm not talking about a seminary and a cemetery. I'm talking about a resurrection from the dead. Christ is resurrected from the dead. He's alive, hallelujah. And he lives in you tonight. And we are living oracles tonight, hallelujah. We are lively stones because we are living tonight. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Oh, there's so much I'd like to say tonight. I'm just going to say a few words and close out because I feel like I could get a running start and go all night. But now listen, just a few words here. Why do we need to know that we are His righteousness? Why do we need to know that we are His body? The Bible doesn't teach that we are waiting for the redemption of the body, just waiting for the redemption of the body. It doesn't teach that, does it? No, it doesn't teach that. See, but it says that we are waiting to witness redemption. There's a world of difference in it. I'm not waiting for the redemption of the body. When Jesus came up out of the grave, that was the redemption of the body. The price was paid. He overcame death. That was the end of it. You young folks, listen to me. I said Jesus came out of the grave and you don't have to die. You don't have to be put in a casket and let down in a hole. One of the writers said, tell me, Lord, can I praise you in the dirt? Can I testify? Can I say any good thing about you if my mouth is closed in the dust? God said, Adam, you disobeyed me. You didn't have faith in my word. You came up from the dust. I picked you up from the dust. From the dust to art, Adam, to the dust thou shalt return. But he didn't say that to the second man, Adam. Thou, Son of God, thy throne is an everlasting throne, and thy scepter one of righteousness, and thy kingdom is established forever. He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. Where is the throne? Heaven is my throne. and the Bible said we're sitting together in heavenly places tonight. Resurrected in Jesus Christ. Am I his bone tonight? Am I his flesh tonight? Am I his righteousness tonight? Then I am his life tonight. I am his life, and I am up from the grave to die no more. Then I say, grave, what victory do you have tonight? If the sting of death is sin, and I am born of God, and I cannot sin. Jesus said, I will help Satan his lightning fall from heaven. Amen. Now, if I am born of God, and I cannot sin because I'm born of God, but the Bible said he is born of God, he can't sin. It didn't say he might not sin or hope he don't sin. It says he cannot sin. I got the Word of God in me. I got the seed of God in me. I can't sin. Why? Because I'm born of God. Now then, if I can't sin, how can I die? How can I die? For the Bible teaches that death, the sting of death is sin. But I am made the righteousness of God in Christ. If there's sin in the righteousness of God, you cannot sin because you're born of God. And if you're born of God, you can't sin. If you can't sin, you can't die. Then we say, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? There is no sting. Jesus plucked it out at Calvary. Hallelujah. There is no victory to the grave. So then what am I doing? I am waiting to wit the redemption. A witty old gent, search out witty inventions. Witty come to understand or to wit the redemption of my body. To come to a message, to come to a knowledge, to come to an age wherein a message is given. That tells me that I am his body and his bone and I don't have to die. I don't have to die, Brother Leon. See, I'm his bone. I'm his body. I don't have to die. My body, my bone, it died because I was sinful. But I'm his body. I'm his bone. I'm up from the grave. I'm alive forevermore. I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, we don't have to die. That's why I get excited. I can't help but get excited. Oh, hallelujah. I feel good. I feel good. Let's stand together, because the more I preach, the gooder I feel, and the gooder I feel, the more I preach. So I better stop. Hallelujah. What a day, what a day, what a day. What a glorious moment. Oh, hallelujah. I cry, I weep, I break on the inside. I sigh on the inside because of the day and the hour in which we're living. It tears me to pieces when I think about it. The precious, loving, darling, wonderful people of God that's been eaten up by cancer, killed by heart trouble, old age killed them and took them out. When God never desired it, never wanted it, and death has preyed off of them. They've been sick and tired and weary, bound to wheelchairs, bedridden, sores. But it was never his plan. Mothers, little babies jerked out of their arms and laying in the dust. Precious daddies and mothers laying down the dust. God never intended it. Death is the enemy of God. It's not the friend of God. It's the last one to be conquered. And who's going to conquer it? We are. The sons of God. The dead can't conquer it. They're already dead. But we're going to conquer it. And glory to God when we conquer it. When we conquer it. Hallelujah. When we conquer it, then we can walk out there to my old daddy and say, get up, bed. You don't have to sleep no longer. Hallelujah. Walk out there to them darling little babies that Brother Leon had to yield up and say, honey, get up. You don't have to stay in the dust no longer. Not any longer. Said, Daddy's conquered death. Daddy's conquered death. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Jesus has walked over to the vine. He touched it and he said, son, your mother needs your help. Get up out of there. Hallelujah. I had a vision. They brought the coffin and they rolled the coffin up. And I said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "We're looking for Mr. Pike." I said, "Well, I'm George Pike." They said, "Okay." And they rolled the casket up, and I put my foot in it, and I started to get on. I said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. I ain't supposed to be dying. See, I've conquered death. I've conquered death." And those black men stood there waiting for me to put the other foot in. I said, "No, I'm not supposed to die. I've conquered death." I took my foot out and let them go on their way. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's some of you here tonight that no doubt you've had your one foot in the casket. But because you believed in Jesus, you took it back out. And you're still living. You're still living. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. What is it? The righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Sing it with me. Won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it with me. Oh, Savior, oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Hallelujah. While she's playing, I want you to step out around the altar for a few minutes. All of you, will you? All of you. If you're a sinner, come on up here anyway with me, will you? Come on, it's okay. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How wonderful. At last the bonds of death are broken. At last sorrow is past. At last misery is gone. And all of the poverties and heartaches of life has passed away. For we are complete in Him. And we don't have to suffer, and we don't have to be sick, and we don't have to die. And we don't have to worry about the success that God promised us. We don't have to be strange. We don't have to be mysterious. We just have to be simple and holy. Like I said about the Mississippi people, down to earth, humble and sincere. The Bible said that the poor heard Him gladly. They didn't have any riches to occupy their mind. They heard Him gladly. Salvation is sent to the poor. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands with me, if you don't mind. Just slip them up, will you? I'm here tonight just to be a brother to you, to fellowship, to love you, to worship with you, and to tell you the glad tidings of great joy. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. I bring glad tidings of great joy tonight. A Savior is risen from the dead. and we are free. He went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And tonight he is in our midst. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst, he said. And tonight he is here with us. And it's my privilege to be with you. My privilege to be with you. Lift your hands up and close your eyes. You young fellows over here, slip your hands up. Just raise your hands with me. It's all right. God made those hands. God made those hearts. Don't be ashamed. Slip them up. Slip them up. Hallelujah. You know, I remember in a Methodist church one time I was a little boy. And the preacher come back and he talked to me. And he said, "Don't you love Jesus?" Just a Methodist preacher, a young fellow. I said, "I love Jesus." And I was ashamed, you know, because I was there among my little comrades and we've been playing ball. We just stopped in just to see what was going on. And the rest of my little comrades, they wouldn't say they loved Jesus. They wouldn't talk about anything like that. They was ashamed. But you know, I couldn't be that ashamed. I said, "I love Jesus." And you know, today God has given me hundreds of thousands of dollars and made my cup run over. Today, some of them are dead and in the grave. They died in poverty. They died in wrecks. They died in gambling games. But today I'm still alive and going strong for Jesus. And he blessed me. He helps me to go all over the world to do whatever I want to do for his lovely name's sake. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of him. You say, "Well, I could lift my hands if I wanted to." No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. I challenge you on that. You couldn't do it. You say, "But I can." No, you can't. Satan won't let you. You say, "But he hasn't got a hold of me." Yes, he has. He talked you out of it. See, them thoughts that talk to you, that's Satan. And he's so strong in talking to you, you can't lift them because he got a hold of you. So you say, "Well, I just don't want to." No, that isn't what it is. Your heart cries out to do it. But there's something bigger than you are. There's something out talks you. Amen. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Let's lift our hands up tonight. The anointing will break the yoke. If you'll move tonight in the anointing of God, God will break the yoke. And you'll be free from that bondage forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Father of heaven tonight, as I feel that anointing here, wherever thy spirit is, there is liberty, O God. I feel the liberty of the mighty Holy Ghost tonight. I feel thy spirit, God, in the broken yoke. I ask you to heal the bodies that are sick tonight. I ask you to heal the bodies. Father, may there be somebody here tonight that will believe and be completely healed and the sickness eradicated from their body. And dear God, may poverty be taken away, may heartaches be taken away. And dear God, tonight, may trouble be taken out of their homes. Father, whatever their problems are tonight, I'm asking you to meet them physically, spiritually, financially, Father. I'm asking you to be with them. I'm asking you to help them to conceive, Lord, the words that I've spoken tonight and what it means to them to be free. Oh, Lord of heaven, what this visitation has to do with and the greatness of the living and the almighty God that's in our presence tonight. May we be healed tonight. May we be freed tonight. May we be full of the Spirit, full of the love of God tonight. May we have a greater vision than ever before, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus tonight together, and I'll let you go. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fast. Can you sing to me? Just remember in God's Word how He fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. You know, last night under the tent, we had a tent full of people in Gainesville. And the people was really stirred. You could tell that something got down in their soul, Bill Taylor. And they were stirred. They believed the words of God. Hallelujah. You know, when you believe the words of God, revival comes. When you believe the word of God, blessings come. Help and strength comes. And you, when you're up in the years, you know, and your body is tired, there's something that happens to you. You renew your youth in God. You renew your strength in God. And the Bible said you shall live longer by reason of strength. Amen. God will give you strength. Old Caleb, about 80 years old, was ready to fight a battle, join the army. Moses, 80 years old, started his ministry. Went down to Egypt and delivered hundreds and thousands of people because of the great and mighty goodness of God. Can you sing it again? Can we? Oh, leave it there. Go and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, strengthen this body tonight. Give this body a touch tonight. Hallelujah. Oh God, join your strength with her tonight. Hallelujah. Join your strength with her tonight. Help her, God, to have the power and victory of God. The overcoming grace of the living God of heaven. Heal the body. Make it strong. Give it a testimony in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up and love Him for just a minute or two. You know, we don't have a big crowd tonight, but you don't have to have a big crowd. To the Lord, leave it there. Hey, one more time. Go and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Do you believe God wants to do something for you tonight? Do you? Hallelujah. Something has happened, and the saints of God has not yet got a hold of it, but they're fixing to get a hold of it. Amen. What a time that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and when I take Him by the hand and He leads me to that promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that's going to be. Hallelujah. Can you slip your hands up one more time? Let's love the Lord and let's pray again. I want to pray for you tonight just before I turn this service back to our brother. I want to pray and I want to ask God tonight to do something special for you. I count it a great privilege to be here tonight. Father of heaven, these are your people. And dear God, I know that you love them. I know that you're with them. I know that you're helping them, Jesus. I know that you're for them. And I ask in the name of Jesus, Oh, God of heaven, to look down upon them. Whatever the problem could be tonight, I ask you to take it away, Jesus. I ask you to help them, to bless them, to deliver them, oh God. Oh, Lord, from every fiery trial, from every evil, I ask you to heal their bodies tonight. Lord, even after this meeting, let them realize a new strength has entered into their bodies. Let them realize a new faith has entered into their hearts. Now let them realize, oh God, something has happened. Oh, Heavenly Father, that something has taken place. I ask you to do it in the name of your lovely child, Jesus, tonight. I ask you to do it to bless them in Jesus' lovely name tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Let's sing this little chorus together. And then I'll turn it back to our brother. Oh, just another catch, Lord, from you. Sing it with me. To help me with the trials I go through. Oh, dark may be the night, but I can see a ray of light. When I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Sing it. Oh, Jesus, touch me. Oh, He touch me. And oh, the joys that flood my soul. Something has happened, and now I know He touched me and He made me whole. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Brother Leon asked me something there. I haven't been able to tell Brother Leon yet, but we were planning to set a tent meeting in the Carolinas, and I was going to contact you, and then when I found out it's coming over, I just thought I'd see you, you know. We still got Brother Leon's big tent over there in the building, and it's been taken good care of, and he said that if we decide, whenever we decided to have the meeting in the Carolinas, just to let him know, and we'll just go ahead and set it. So that was one of the things, Brother Leon. I promised that I'd get back right away. I've already got the lot and everything lined up. And the people are pleading for us to come into the Carolinas. Even as far as Salem or Winston-Salem, they're pleading for us to come to the Carolinas. And we are planning to set the tent up there. And I hope that you can come up too. I don't see why you can't. I know there'll be numbers of the people from Little Bethlehem that'll go up. And this isn't too far, you know. I come way over here. And a lot of times Buddy goes way over there. So it's not too far that you can come over. And I know that we're needed in our own home area. I know that. And I like what the Bible says when it speaks of your faith being spoken up throughout the world. I like that. Throughout the world. While we was over in Europe and while we was over in Palestine, telling the glad tidings of great joy, they spoke about the faith of the people of Little Bethlehem. A judge over in Jonesboro, Georgia, sat on the judgment seat just a few days ago, and before the public, he made the statement. He said, there's some good folks at Little Bethlehem. Isn't that wonderful? When the judge sits on the judgment seat and testifies in the court, it's wonderful to be a Christian. I want to set the tent, and I wanted to contact Brother Leon because it's his tent, and the only reason I was going to set it is he has already given me the permission to set it, saying that he'd like for us to set it wherever and whenever there in the Carolinas. So the only thing I guess they'll just have to do without their pastor for a few days, Leon. We've got the lot, and I've got to let them know something on it. I told them I'd. As a matter of fact, the man pressed me just before I left the Gainesville meeting. He caught me outside the tent. He said, tell me something on the lot. And we got three different places, and I prayed over it, and the Lord has shown me which one. And I thought when we got back, we'd start setting and get ready for the meeting. I hope you're ready, Leon. Are you ready? All right, he's ready. He told me when I got ready, he'd be ready. But he's ready. And when we get back, if the Lord's willing, nothing happens, we're going to go ahead and get it set. And how many of you would like to be up there in the meeting? Let me see your hand. Now, I don't know. We might not have anybody up there. I don't know. But the last time we was in that area, well, last time we was in Charlotte, we had so many people under the tent, they had to set chairs outside. And then the last time we was over in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, James? Wilkesboro. They had a three-pole tent there about the size of Leon's, and they had it filled slap up. The Lord blessed us, and it was filled slap up. And I mean, the people really rallied to the gospel. And we got a letter a few days ago. God worked a miracle for somebody while we was there, and it stirred the people. And we got a letter just a few days ago, and they said that the effects of our preaching there had really burned deep into the souls of the people that heard it. Brother Owens wrote a letter to Brother Bill and said it really stirred the people. And they've asked us to come to another part of the Carolinas. And we're looking forward to it. Might not have nobody this time. But anyway, it's worth a chance. Pray and go in faith. Nothing wavering. Amen. And the Lord will fill it up. I don't believe he'll fill the tent up. I believe he will. I'm going to believe it anyway. So, in the light of that, Brother Leon, I really need to get back. I want you to stand with me now. I want to say that this is a privilege, a real privilege, to be here, and it just thrills my heart to see this building restored when the fire got it. I tell you what, if I didn't know about it, I'd have never known there's a fire in here. I don't know what you've done to it, but I can't. The Bible said the Hebrew children come out and the smell of fire wasn't even on them. So it looks like you went through the fire test and didn't even come out with the smell of fire. So it just thrills my heart. And being my privilege to be here, I want you to know that you've been a blessing to me. God, turn this service back to our brother, Pastor.